many of you utilize perhaps multiple different tools to help you remember things, to remind yourself to do things. For example, I have to put everything on my calendar, and I make to-do lists. I'm really grateful sometimes for the reminders app on your phone, because you can set it to remind you at a certain time or location. So I'll remember something at work I've got to do when I get home, and I pull in the driveway and my phone buzzes, you know, remember to take out the trash or whatever the case is. And sometimes even if I've, you know, gone out to dinner with people and I have leftovers and I go back to their house and I put my leftovers in the fridge, I always forget my leftovers until I started leaving my keys in the fridge with my leftovers. You don't forget things that way. It really works, I'm telling you. But if I don't do these things, if things aren't on my calendar, if it's not on my to-do list, then there's a really good possibility that I'm going to forget. And with everything happening in our lives, with all of the moving parts, I think that's true of a lot of us. And I think it might even just be part of human nature that we are going to forget things from time to time, because we certainly see that that's true throughout the pages of Scripture. And it seems evident that God has known that we have a forgetfulness about us since the beginning. And so God has tried to help us along the way with some guidelines and tools to help us to remember what it looks like to follow God and to remember all the things that God has done for us. And that's certainly true in our passage of Scripture for today. I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, but before I read our scripture, I want to give you a little bit of context by talking about what happens in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Now, if there are any biblical scholars here who are thinking, but I thought the Ten Commandments were in Exodus, you would be correct. The Ten Commandments are both in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, which just further shows that God knew we were going to need to be reminded of those multiple times in the pages of Scripture. So in Deuteronomy 5, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, you know, no other gods, no idols, don't steal, murder, etc., all of those things. And then what follows in Deuteronomy chapter 6, our passage for today, is God starts to give the explanation for why there are commandments in the first place. And God also has some advice for us on how we can better keep them. So I want you to listen for those things. As we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll start reading in verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So God has given the people the commandments, and now God is giving them a why. And in verses 4 and 5, which are some of the more famous verses in the Old Testament, it says, "The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." In Judaism, this is known as the Shema, which comes from the Hebrew word to listen or hear, because it starts by God saying, "Hear, listen, O Israel." And the Shema is central to Jewish prayer, usually morning and evening prayer. It's kind of like their equivalent of maybe the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that they pray over and over again that would be still very familiar to all Jewish people. And we hear that Jesus, he echoes these words. If they sound familiar, it's because he echoes this in Luke when he gives the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're reminded from these verses that loving God with all of our being, that centering our lives around God, that that is what we are called to do as people. And yet, in spite of our best intentions, we're not always all that great at doing that. We're not always all that great at centering our lives around God or even remembering the things that God has done for us. And God knows that. That's why God gave the Israelites the commandments and the law. It was to help them to love God. It was to help them to center their lives around God. And God was smart enough to know that this couldn't just be a one-time conversation. It's why the commandments appear more than once. It's why in Deuteronomy 6 and the verses we read, God says you should write these things on your doorposts and on your gates. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads. That all of these things will remind you of what God has done. Place reminders in your home, maybe even on yourself, so that you can continue to remember all that God has done and love God with your heart, soul, and strength. If we had kept reading in Deuteronomy 6, God would have also instructed the people to teach these things to your children, that every time you do, you have to tell the story of all that God has done. Because it's not just commands. It's remembering what God has done in the midst of that. That God rescued the Israelites from slavery and oppression in Egypt. And then God parted the waters of the Red Sea. God led them and provided for them in the wilderness. And God ultimately brought them into the promised land. And as time goes on, as generations pass, there will be people who never lived in slavery or in the wilderness. And so you have to keep telling the story. We have to remind ourselves. And even though Christ has come now and abolished the law, we still have a pretty strong tendency to forget. And it's why we have to keep telling the story. I mean, because you're only here today because someone first told you the story of the faith. And the people who told you were told by other people. And all the way back, thousands of years, the church still exists because as people of faith, we've continued to tell the story of what God has done and tried to center our lives around God. It's why when we gather here, we talk about spiritual practices and other things that we as believers can do to help center our lives on God. It's why we talk about things like corporate worship and prayer, scripture meditation and life groups. It's why we challenge you to serve and to be a part of evangelism. And it's why we talk about financial generosity. Because we believe that all of those things help us in centering our lives around God and not ourselves or anything else. It's why every 2 years at Advent, we spend a couple weeks talking about financial generosity. Because we believe that's an essential part of how we love God and we make God the center of our lives. It's why once every 2 years, we have what we call Commitment Sunday, where we invite you to come and make a commitment and bring your commitment cards forward. And yes, it is in part for practical purposes, because your commitments help us to plan financially and to think about budget and the mission and ministry we can do in the coming years. But a commitment card also gives you the opportunity to make an intentional, prayerful decision and commitment with you, your family, and God about how for the next couple of years you're going to love God with all of your heart and your soul and your strength. Because we at Advent are never going to come calling if you don't fulfill your commitment. That's not how this works. But it is an agreement that you have made with God to help you as you grow in your faith and grow closer to God. And so as we've moved to this Onward initiative, I've spent some time thinking about what my commitment was going to be and what are the reasons that I give in the first place. And I have quite a few. The first reason that I give is because God commands us to. If you were here last week, you heard Krista Redding, one of our lay leaders, talk about Onward, and she talked about how this idea of giving and giving a tenth of all that we have goes all the way back to Abraham in Genesis, when Abraham gives a tenth of what he has to the high priest. And then if you keep going from there, you see throughout the pages of Scripture, God commanding us again and again to give. So I give because God tells us. I give because Jesus talks about money more than Jesus talks about anything else. And I don't think that was an accident. I think Jesus knew what a stumbling block money can be for us. And so he talks to us over and over again about being wary of that. I give because everything we have is God's anyways. We believe as people that all that we have and all that we are gifts from God and that we are just temporary stewards of the pieces that we've been given in this lifetime. And so it makes sense to give them back to God because they already belong to God. And finally, I give because it helps me to be less self-centered and become more God-centered. That in giving of first fruits, it helps me to orient my life around God and not around me. And really those reasons that God commands us, that Jesus talks about money more than anything else, that it's all God's anyways, and that it helps me to be self-centered. Those are the reasons why I give now and why I'm always going to give at least 10% of my income to whatever church I'm a part of. And it's not always easy. I'm not going to lie about that. But it is definitely changing my life and helping my life to be more centered around God. But I can also say that by giving to Advent, I know, and all of you, we are helping to change the lives of other people. And being a part of how somebody's life is being changed and transformed is far more valuable to me than any of the stuff I could buy. A few weeks ago, after the service, our ushers found an anonymous note in the offering plate. And that note said that I contemplated suicide this week. Now, statistically speaking, that's true every single Sunday. Statistics say with the number of people who are here in worship that there's always somebody who's contemplated suicide that week. But on this particular Sunday, we got a note confirming that. Now, I have no idea who wrote that note. I don't know if they are here today. But there is a possibility that that person is still living because of the encounter they had with God on that Sunday here at Advent. And if you give, then you are a part of that. Because in your giving, it allows us to pay for our facilities and our staff and the coffee we serve and the music that we sing and all the other things that happen on Sunday morning that create the environment where people can encounter and experience God. And at least on occasion, those encounters with God are life-saving. Now, that matters to me a whole lot more than any football tickets or car or jewelry or anything else I could buy with that money instead of giving. Because when we give, we're not just giving for today, but we're investing in the future, in how God is going to work in the lives of people and future generations. It's why we're challenging everyone onward, because it's not just about today or next week or even next year. It's about the future generations, even those who are already here in our churches, and how God is going to use them and us in transforming the world. Do you know how incredible some of our younger generations who are here are about our children and students and some of the ways that God is changing their lives? In your Onward booklet, we shared stories of impact. And in that booklet, you might have read the story of a 6-year-old boy in our congregation who emptied his entire piggy bank for our Vacation Bible School mission. For Vacation Bible School this year, we asked the kids to bring in children's flip-flops and sunglasses that we sent with our Guatemala mission team to bring to the children there. And this 6-year-old boy was so heartbroken to learn that there are children throughout the world who don't have shoes that he emptied his piggy bank and bought 18 pairs of shoes and sunglasses to bring to the Vacation Bible School mission. Or there's another Advent child who told her family she was going to hold a craft sale. And she had a craft sale where she sold different things that she had made. And she said that she was going to give all the money to Advent. Her parents were a little skeptical of this, but they, you know, bought her stuff. And other people bought her stuff. And then the Sunday came and she brought all that money to Advent to be a part of the mission and ministry that we're doing. Or a story of one of our students this summer at Sacagachee. If you don't know what Sacagachee is, it's a series of different camps throughout the state of South Carolina where students and adults go for a week and do home repair. And on the last night of Sacagachee at all the camps, the different teams will go to Walmart to go shopping for their homeowners. And so they'll buy things like curtains or towels or plants for the front porch or toys for children. And so a lot of times churches send money already with their teams because they know they're going to shop at the end of the week. And so one of the teams, they went and they got to the checkout line and they bought all their stuff. And one person paid for it all on a credit card. And it got back to some of our team leaders from Advent that that had been bought on an Advent credit card. Except that all of our leaders knew that wasn't possible because only staff members have Advent credit cards. And there wasn't a staff member on that team. And so they asked around a little bit more and they found out that one of our students paid for all of the stuff on his personal credit card. And because he paid for it all himself, all of the people on that team just assumed he had a church credit card. But instead, he put almost $300 worth of stuff on his personal credit card. When he's asked later, he said it was because he just felt that God was leading him to do it and to bless that family and their house. These are three examples of how our children and students understand the ways that God is transforming their lives and the lives of other people through financial generosity. They're examples of how they're loving God with their heart, soul, and strength. And the impact that that potentially has for years and years to come. The thing is, it's not just our children and our students whose lives are being transformed. It's adults too. But rather than me telling you another story, I'd like for you to hear it for yourself. And so this morning, if you don't already know him, I want to introduce you to Dan Pachano. He currently serves as our finance chair, and he's going to talk with us this morning through video about the impact of generosity in his life.
My name's Dan Pachano. I've been attending Advent for probably the last 8-9 years. The key thing and why we love being part of the Advent community is the people. It truly is an amazing group of people. They welcomed us from day one. It really was getting to know who you are and what they can do to help you and whatever it may be. As finance chair, I've been really blessed to see the amazing generosity of the Advent community. If there's a need, the Advent community is there to help, whether it be financially, or with time, or with thoughts, or with effort. When I look and see what Advent has done, the first thing is I see how we take care of one another, support one another in our daily lives, and whatever it may be, making the investments in the pastors, in the staff, in the facilities to really serve one another each and every day. Then I see Advent looking within the community and really expanding with Advent Scuffletown and how we can affect the community, whether it be backpack blessings, going out in the community and doing the March Madness cleanups. All those things are such a huge benefit to the community and spreading and seeing God's word. And finally abroad, with the support that we've done in Guatemala, with Africa, it's truly amazing to see how we as a church tithe ourselves in the missions that we want to do out there. As I've worked with the finance committee over the last 3 years, is how we really take very seriously every dollar that's coming in and how we can best use that dollar to help in our mission. It really starts with our mission and how do we continue to fish. When I think about generosity and think about the path that Pam and I tried to take, is trusting in God and trusting, we're trusting Him with our lives and taking that next step for all of us and trusting Him in our financial security. And that's a big step. It's not always easy. It takes a lot of faith. It's tough. But I would tell you what I've found personally for myself is that the joys of seeing that in action, seeing that generosity multiplied through what we do at Advent, through the missions and the lives that it touched, I'm so much a better person for it. Talking about a time where I felt an overwhelming presence of God, I would tell you it would be 5 years ago when my wife Pam went through some very serious health issues to the point where they didn't expect her to make it. I happened, when we were there, picked up the Bible study book that she was doing, and while she was in a coma, I would read to her those each day the passages that were going through it. And for me, that just really showed that God was there with us. I could feel that presence. It was amazing, the presence that also emanated from the conversation when the nurses would walk in and I was reading to her and thinking about it, or the doctors would walk in or a technician. Just, you know, that he was there, he was with us. And I believe in the end, it was a miracle that she's still with us. When Pam was sick and not doing well, we had two younger boys who were kind of early teenage, middle school, and we were really struggling trying to figure out how we were going to get through things. Had tremendous support from our own family, between Pam's family and my family, but you know, the women from her Bible study were just tremendous. We couldn't eat all the food that was provided. So many of them came to visit her when she was in the hospital, and just providing that emotional and spiritual support. A lot of times she was in a coma, but they were there visiting, talking with her, reading with her, being there for her. We would pray together, we would talk together, we cry together. It was really powerful to see that extended family and to know that there's an extension that has the type of love that you have for your family and your brothers and your sisters and your children and your nieces and nephews, that, you know, I view Advent that way.
The end of the video, Dan compares his love of the Advent family to his love of his biological family. And I know that he's not the only person who feels that way. And that when you give to Advent, it's helping you to invest in and build and strengthen and grow the faith family here, and to open that wider for other people. And it also helps all of us to love God more fully and deeply, so that we as individuals in a community are a body whose lives are centering on loving God. In a moment, you're going to have the chance to come forward and make your onward commitment. And you can drop your commitment card in one of the three boxes here in the front. Or if you made your pledge in Realm, we have cards that say, I made a pledge in Realm, and you can bring those forward. And then I invite you either to come to the altar or back in your seat to pray. And to pray for the ways that God will help you to grow through the Onward Initiative. For the ways that God will help all of us at Advent to grow. And that through this and our generosity, that we may grow in loving God with all of our being. Let us pray. Almighty God, forgive us for all the times that we've centered our lives around ourselves or other things, and help us to center our lives around you. God, we pray that as we move into this Onward Initiative, that you would help us to trust you more fully, that our generosity would be one of the ways that we love you with our heart, soul, and strength, and that through the collective generosity of the Advent family, God, that you would help us to be part of how you are transforming the world. God, we ask that you would help it not to be our plans, but your plans, that you would lead us and help us, for we can't do this without you. And we are trusting in the ways that you will provide for each of us. We pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Will you stand with us?